And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Governor Rick Snyder is in China today as he visits the Far East to drum up investment in Michigan. The hope is that the trade trip will lead to job growth in the state, although a new report finds that the past 10 years have seen quite the opposite dynamic when it comes to U.S.-Chinese trade. To find out more, I'm joined by Robert Scott, the Director of Trade and Manufacturing Policy Research at the Economic Policy Institute. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
The loss of manufacturing jobs have been huge here in Michigan, and it's had a huge impact on Michigan's economy. But just how many jobs has the U.S. lost to China over the last decade?
Overall, the United States has lost about 2.8 million jobs just since China entered the World Trade Organization in 2001.
Now, in Michigan, obviously, the auto industry is a huge part of our economy. But when it comes to the industries most impacted by these job losses, which were they?
Well, nationwide, the hardest hit industries were in actually in electronics was one of the hardest hit. We lost over 900,000 jobs in that industry. In autos and auto parts, we lost, I think, about 65,000 jobs, although that industry was growing, was one of the ones that suffered some of the most rapidly growing losses, and was a great source of concern.
When we see China moving into new areas such as computer and electronic parts as they begin to develop, are they likely to expand into other industries and take even more jobs in the coming decade?
Well, this is exactly what's happening. China used to be known for producing textiles and footwear and toys. In the last decade, they have moved rapidly upscale, and as I said now, they're leading industry in terms of exports and job displacement in trade with the United States is computer electronics. They're also moving into other advanced, what we call durable goods, and they have targeted motor vehicles, particularly as a what they call a pillar industry. They're also targeting the new green technology industries. And as I think you know, for example, General Motors has been fighting with the Chinese just over the past 2 weeks because they want to build a plant in China to manufacture their Volt electronic vehicles, but the Chinese are demanding that they be given access to all of the technology that went into that vehicle.
Even with this type of data, some say China is used as a scapegoat for our own economic and unemployment problems. Do you believe that China and countries like it are the primary reason we're seeing such high unemployment?
I think China is one of the major contributors to job loss in the United States. To put it in perspective, we have lost about 11 million jobs in the Great Recession. That was what it would take to get us get the unemployment rate back down to where it was before the recession started at the end of 2007. Overall, as I said, growing trade deficits with China have are responsible for about 2.8 million jobs lost. Within manufacturing overall, we've lost about 6 million jobs. But the recession, the Great Recession of 2007, was also a financial crisis. It resulted in massive job losses in construction and a general suppression of demand across the economy. So trade is just one of several things that have contributed to this deep recession or depression, as some call it. And in order to dig our way out of it, we're going to have to do many things, including leveling the playing field with countries like China.
Supporters of increased trade with China point to the fact that Michigan companies exported over $2 billion in merchandise to the country last year, $700 million 5 years earlier, so quite an increase, the largest export items being automotive and other transportation equipment. Does that point to an ultimately beneficial trade relationship for Michigan, at least?
I don't think so. What I have found in my studies, of course, is that these the studies that you report of exports from by state from places like Michigan don't report jobs displaced by imports. In my study, I looked at both imports and exports. I found that exports to China supported about 17,600 jobs, but imports from China displaced about 97,400 jobs. So when I talk about 79,000 to 800,000 jobs lost in Michigan due to growing trade deficits with China, that's a net loss number. I'm a two-handed economist. I count both the gains and the losses. What you hear about from the business community are often just the gains. The losses are never mentioned.
I'm talking to Robert Scott, the Director of Trade and Manufacturing Policy Research at the Economic Policy Institute. Robert, is it arguable that our trade policy with China is good for corporations in the U.S. but bad for American workers?
I think that's exactly the case. We've seen a tremendous increase in profitability on Wall Street. We've seen a huge shift in the distribution of income over the past few decades from working families to people in the top 10 and the top 1% of the income distribution. That's not an accident. It happened because we are involved in a race to the bottom with workers in places like China, where wages are much, much lower than the U.S. In addition, China competes unfairly in many, many ways. They manipulate their currency to make their prices artificially cheap. They subsidize products illegally. They have all kinds of barriers to U.S. exports. All of these are ways in which China is trying to tilt the playing field in its favor.
Well, the wages and labor costs are one of those things that are going to be a major factor at any point for companies. How can we ever balance the playing field with China's wages being so much lower than ours?
Well, I think it's interesting to compare the performance of the United States with that of Germany. In Germany, they actually pay higher wages than we do. In Germany, they have maintained a stable and growing trade surplus over the past decade. Their share of the world export market has been roughly constant. So somehow they have managed to combat the same problems that we're facing in dealing with China. And they do it through investments in building up industrial capacity, through investments in worker skills and training, and they encourage firms not to lay off workers during downturns, but in fact to invest in new skills and developing new products so that they're ready to greet the market with new products when recessions end.
You know, the Chinese currency policy, which you mentioned, is taking center stage this week in Washington. Critics, of course, say they manipulate the currency in a way that makes it impossible for us to actually balance this deficit. Is there any effective way of confronting this issue since it is on their end and they're in full control here?
There are many ways in which we can make it too expensive for China to keep manipulating its currency. What we have to understand is that we have all the leverage. We had nearly $400 billion worth of imports from China in 2010. Our exports to China were less than $100 billion. So they're much more dependent on us than we are on them. For China, trade makes up overall perhaps 25 to 30% of its overall economy. For the United States, exports to China are less than one-half of 1% of U.S. gross domestic product. And much of what we export to China are things like scrap and raw plastic that don't support many jobs here and that the Chinese simply convert into products that are exported back to this country.
And considering how important this trade relationship is for China and how interdependent we are, I mean, why are the Chinese not making more of an effort to produce a better balance in our trade relationship to avoid a potential collapse?
Well, I think China's economy is actually very, very fragile at the moment, and it's led by an aging political leadership. They're about to go through yet another secessions in political leadership. The new generation of leaders is coming on a year from now. They're very much afraid of doing anything to upset the political apple cart there, and as a result, they're desperate to keep the export machine going as fast as they can. What they fail to recognize is that revaluing the currency is win-win for both China and the United States. China's biggest problem right now is it's facing rapidly galloping inflation. It's runaway. accelerating at about 0.5% per month. It was, I think, about 5.5 or 6% last month. I think if China were to revalue, what would happen is that it would reduce the cost of imported energy and food products, and that would put downward pressure on inflation. So revaluation reduces inflation in China. It helps create jobs here in the United States. It's win-win.
Finally, we've seen what happened the last 10 years with millions of jobs lost here in the U.S. Is there any sense that we're going to see a change in that trend in the immediate future, in the next several years, or could this be something that's well over 10 years away from even beginning to occur?
I've estimated we could create up to 2.25 million jobs over the next 18 to 24 months if we decide to get tough with China and threaten them with large tariffs if they don't revalue their currency. We've done that three times in the past 30 years with both China and with other countries like Japan and earlier on the European countries when they were manipulating their currencies. That kind of policy works. We don't actually have to impose a tariff. We just have to threaten to get tough, and these countries will roll over.
I can't imagine corporate America allowing for that to happen, though.
That is the problem.
Robert Scott, the Director of Trade and Manufacturing Policy Research at the Economic Policy Institute. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.